Glory to God. Boy, that's loud. I'm already a loud person. Yeah, please cut me down just a hair. I'll be very self-conscious. Okay. Are y'all glad to be in God's house tonight? Yes, it's the best place to be on Wednesday night, Sunday morning. All right. I just want y'all to stretch your hands toward me tonight. Pastor does this sometimes, and I'm going to take advantage of the same technique. Y'all just flick the blood over me. Father, I just choose to yield myself totally to you by the Holy Spirit tonight. Help me leave off anything I don't need to say that I have in my notes, and bring out the things that I should say. And if there's something you want to add, just alert me to it by the Holy Spirit. I just plead the blood over these people that they have the ability to receive with listening ears and hearts and minds, and that the eyes of all of our understanding are open to your word tonight, and that we receive, and we just give you thanks for it in Jesus' name, and we say amen. My title, as you know, is Resting in the Storm, and I'm going to put my glasses on just in case. And I have the same dilemma that Jim seems to have every time she gets up here. And that is, I get these things together, and I think I've got it. And then at the last minute, I'm starting to just, you know, clip my pages together, and things just don't look just right. So that's why I said stretch your hands toward me, because I already took out some stuff tonight. And how many of you ever been through a storm? Okay. A physical storm with the clouds and all that. I think most of us have. And how about a financial storm? I think most of us have. And how about a storm of our emotions? So there's plenty of storms that the enemy provides for us. Amen. And it's up to us to learn how to overcome them. Okay, and I'm going to have a lot of scriptures, but that's okay, because what do we feel about the scriptures? We love the scriptures, okay. All right, Jeremiah 33:3. And this is from the Message. This is God's message, the God who made earth. He made it livable and lasting, known everywhere as God. He says, call to me and I will answer you, and I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Now, there is something about this particular verse from the Message, and I wish I had thought about it in time and I would have looked it up. But it says he made it livable. Did you know that, I don't know where I heard this, I don't think Pastor spoke it, but there is a fine line in the temperature and the way the earth rotates and everything else, that if it was even a little bit different, we could not inhabit this planet. So God knew exactly how to set it up for us. And thank God. But the latter part says, call to me and I'll tell you things. So we just have to ask God when we want to know something, or when we want to just get some new insight on anything. You know, it doesn't have to be something that's been bothering us. It can be, I just want to know something new, God. And in the International Version, New International Version, it says, call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. I'm going somewhere with all these. So we're talking about resting in the storm, and we all face storms. And God said in 1 John 4:4 in the Amplified Classic Edition, he said, little children, you are of God, you belong to him, and you have already defeated and overcome them. And he's talking about the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater or mightier than he who is in the world. Okay? Another one, scripture, same scripture in the Voice. My children, you have come from God and have conquered these spirits, because the one who lives within you is greater than the one in this world. Now, Deborah was talking about, she was born again, so she knows to pay her tithes, and she trusts in the Lord, and he meets her needs. He's met, I think everybody in here has told me something he's done, or many things. I think I could look at almost all of y'all and know that there's been quite a few things that God has done for you, because we are God's children. Amen? In Jeremiah 23 and 23 through 24, in the easy-to-read version, it says, "This message is from the Lord. I am God, and I am always near. I'm not far away. Someone might try to hide from me in some hiding place, but it's easy for me to see that person, says the Lord, because I'm everywhere in heaven and in earth." That's good to know if you're born again. Maybe not so good if you're not. Might be a little scary. Okay. In Jeremiah, the same scripture, Jeremiah 23, 23 through 24, in the Good News translation, it says, "I'm God who is everywhere and not in one place only. No one can hide where I cannot see them. Do you not know that I'm everywhere in heaven and earth?" And in the voice, it's almost the same thing. It says, "I'm not a God of the farthest reaches. Am I a God who anyone can hide from? Do I not see what happens in secrets? Am I not everywhere filling heaven and earth?" And then John 16:33, I tell you we had a lot of scriptures. "I have told you these things," this is amplified, "that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence." Now let me stop right there. If you want to rest, you need to be at peace. How many times have you went to bed and you had these things weighing on your mind and they're just rolling over and over and over because you don't have peace over the situation? Well, you're not resting very well. I've had those things happen to me, and I'd wake up during the night, and as soon as I'd wake up, that here was that thing right again. That's the enemy coming against your mind, okay? In the world, you will have tribulation, trials, and distress, and frustration. But be a good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain. I told Carol earlier I wasn't real confident tonight, and it's funny, I'm reading this to you. "For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have already conquered it for you." And same scripture in the voice, "I've told you these things so that you will be whole and at peace." Who likes peace? Let me hear you say shalom.
Shalom.
Okay. And in this world you'll be plagued with times of trouble, but you need not fear. I have triumphed over this corrupt world order. You know, we all go through storms. There's not one person in here that hadn't been in some type of a storm. And I'll give you a little background if you've never heard me tell this before. Some of you probably have, but when my oldest son was about 2 years old, we were living in a trailer. And I was getting ready for work. I was working second shift, so it was around 2 o'clock in the day. And the sun had been shining all day, and I don't know if it come on the news. I wasn't watching TV. I don't know where it come from, but all of a sudden, I heard the noise, the roar of a tornado. And I went to the window to look out, and there was a tree that was just doing this. It was bending all the way over. So I got him, and I got in the hallway. Well, let me tell you, that tornado picked that trailer up. And it moved it over, I'd say, a couple of feet. And it was not a little bitty trailer. It was not a double wide, but it was a long one. It moved it over and set it on top of some things. I don't even know, but I heard the dishes rattling in the cabinets. But it didn't last but a minute, and it was over. And nobody was hurt. Nothing was even broke, even though it sounded like the place was falling apart. And so God will take us through every storm, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, or whatever it may be. You may lose a loved one, but God will take you through it. Amen? You just got to rest in Him. And that's resting in the storm. May not look real easy, may not feel real good, but you can do it. If you couldn't do it, He wouldn't have told you to do it. So He doesn't tell us anything that we're not capable of doing. Amen? Psalm 124 and 8 in the Living Bible. "Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Same scripture, Christian Standard Bible. "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And I got another one, but it's basically the same thing. Psalms 130, verse 7 in the Jubilee Bible. Let Israel wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy and plenteous redemption close to him. I'm going to read that one again. Let Israel wait for the Lord. Let my children, my sheep, wait for the Lord. For there is mercy and plenteous redemption close to him. Where? Oh, come on. Where is there plenty of redemption? When we're close to him. That's right. If we're drifting away and don't give him the time of day and don't acknowledge him, there may not be enough redemption for a certain thing. Okay, but he's merciful, but it says close to him. Same scripture in the Living Bible. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for he is loving and kind. I love this. And comes to us with armloads of salvation. Isn't that nice? That's pretty old good, isn't it? Okay. In the easy to read version, Israel, trust in the Lord. Or let me say it like this. Body of Christ here at Oasis, let's trust in the Lord, for he is the one who is faithful and true. He saves us again and again and again. And I can attest to that. Can I get a witness? Okay. And we're talking about storms now. 1 Peter 5 and 8 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, he roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hungry, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. And this is my interpretation of that. He's in fierce hunger. He is so set on destroying the people of God because he hates God, so he hates you. So his desire, his hunger is to destroy you. So any way he can, he's seeking a loophole or an open door to attack. And you know, the one thing that's good about that is he cannot do it unless the Lord allows it. And if the Lord allows it, then God has already looked at your situation and he says to himself, I better get over here or it shall get me. He says to himself, I know that they can make it through this. And when you are going through something, it's always an opportunity to grow. It depends on how you respond to the situation. Are you going to have a fit? Because I've had plenty. Are you going to pray? Because I've done that. And just trust in the Lord. And you know, I said a minute ago about waiting on the Lord. How many times has Pastor Rock and even Pastor Sharon told us that he used to be so, I don't know the word, but he just meant he was going to get things done. He wanted to get it done quickly. The sooner he could get it done, the better he felt about it. But he found out that doesn't always work. And I found that out too. And everybody in here, if you've gotten a rush about something and made a hasty decision and later on you're sorry of it. And now what does he say? He said, slow, slower, and slowest. Amen. So that's how we need to handle situations. 1 Peter 5 and 8 in the Living Bible. Be careful. Watch out for the attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for a victim to tear apart. If you let him, he'll tear you up. But you don't have to let him. That's the thing about it. It's in our ability to stand up against the storm and to go through it in peace. If our mind is stayed on the Lord, we will be in peace. It's when we don't think about the Lord like we should and we get our mind on the situation that on the inside of us, things start stirring up and we start getting stressed and our mind just goes back and forth, back and forth. And that is not peace and it's not rest and we're supposed to rest. And I can't wait to tell you this stuff I got on rest. Now, this is just the opening. Okay, in the Message, I started this when it says, keep a cool head and stay alert. the devil is poised to pounce, and he would like nothing better than to catch you napping. So I say, let's wake up, church. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. In Ecclesiastes, it's talking about the seasons. There's always a season, and no season lasts forever. So when you're going through something, if you can't think of anything else, just think, this is not going to last. There's an end to it. So keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for you and us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, he will have put you together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. And then it says, yes, he does. Let's say that. God gets the last word. Amen. Most importantly, this is the voice. Be disciplined and stay on guard, because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around outside like a roaring lion. He's just waiting for the chance to devour someone. Okay. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. Waiting and hoping for the chance to devour someone. There again, it tells me he can't do it unless we allow it. And we don't have to go through the trial unless God allows it. And if God allows it, it's time for a promotion. Amen? Okay. Now here's that scripture, Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Okay? And then I wrote some notes on good foods to eat, so we'll pass that on. Okay. I'm just being human, y'all. Okay. And James 1, 2 through 8. New International Version. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. And I won't go on with the rest of that. You know, if it says if you lack wisdom, you should ask of God. But I know that, I'm not sure if it was Paul, I think it was, he said, count it all joy. So, you know, I thought of this on the way here because it looked like everything was coming against us to get here. And we got up, finally got up to the caution light, and there was a wreck, and I thought, oh my Lord. And but we didn't have to sit there long, but my glasses fell off the visor and hit me in the face. And then that happened, and there was something else. And then it hit me, these scriptures count it all joy. So I just says, I'm just going to be happy regardless, you know. All right, so that's what we need to think. Instead of us thinking, oh, good grief, and what's good about it anyway, instead of thinking like that, let's train our minds to think, oh, it's time to count joy, count it all joy. That's how we should look at a situation. Okay, and this is where Jesus was talking. You know this scriptures, John 10 and 10. The robber only wants to take away my sheep. He wants to kill them. He comes only to destroy them. But I have come so that they can have true life and so that they can have everything that they need. And I add this in. He's come so we can have peace and rest. In the message, it says, Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about, so he brought it up again. He says, I'll be explicit. I am the gate for the sheep. All others are up to no good, sheep rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to him. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for and will freely go in and out and find pasture. And the thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. That's what we can have. We just got to work the word. Amen. And I said this a good while back. Well, I said this recently, that Jesus is the only way. And I'll just iterate on this from the J.B. Phillips. He said, I'm the door. If a man goes through me, he will be safe and sound. And at the end, I didn't read all of it. It says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine. And my sheep know me just as the Father knows me. I know the Father, and I'm giving my life for the sake of the sheep. But the thing that I said a good while back was the reason that you can't, you don't know how God's going to work something out, because he doesn't do it the same way all the time. But does anybody remember why I said that, or why that is that way? It's because, say Wanda needed some money for a light bill, and she prayed to God, which she does, and he answers her prayers, which we know because she's testified of it. But let's just say that she prayed to God, and he came through, and one of her neighbors, somebody she didn't even know real good, came up and felt led to help her out with that light bill. Okay, that's great. All right. But then what if something else comes up again? She cannot look to that neighbor. She has to look to God. But the one reason that is because if the neighbor kept answering the prayer over and over, Satan would get a hold of it, and he'd say, oh, this is the pattern here. This is what they're doing. I got to put a stop to this. You know, he could come against that neighbor and try to destroy them, because that's why God does not do it the same way, because he doesn't want the devil to pick up on a pattern. So he doesn't give him a pattern. And guess what? He doesn't have to. Okay. So in the voice, it says, for he is our God and we are his people, the flock of his pasture, and his sheep protected and nurtured by his hand. Today, if he speaks, hear his voice. I hope he's speaking through these things I'm saying to you. Easy to read version. He is our God. We are the people he cares for. His sheep that walk by his side. Listen to his voice today. Now, I was reading a book. I saw this book at one of the ladies' house where I work. And the name of it was His Sheep Hear His Voice. I think that was the name of it. So I asked her, I said, is there any way I can borrow this? I'll bring it back, you know. And she said, sure. And it looked like a brand new book. I thought, huh. And it was somebody named Calhoun. I can't even remember his name, but it doesn't matter. But he talked about the sheep, and I loved it because he said, like, say they're out in the pasture and they've got to cross this water. He said the older sheep that have been knowing this particular shepherd for a while, you know, of course they recognize his voice. They know him. They're comfortable with him. And they'll just come bounding up and go, if they got across the stream, they'll go right on into the water. They just are bold. They're not afraid because they trust the shepherd. The sheep trust the shepherd. Okay, you're the sheep. He's the shepherd. Okay, so, and then you got the ones that are not quite as old and haven't been around as long. Well, they're a little sheepish, get the pun. They're a little scared, but they can be rounded up and go on and do what they got to do. But then you got the young sheep that haven't been around the shepherd very long, don't really know him. That's the catch. They don't know him, and they are just going crazy. And the dogs have to go help round the sheep up. And the little ones, they're running to the water trying to get away from the dog. And they're bleeding and having a fit. And in his book, he said it was just a sad thing to see. They were so scared. But the key is, if you get to know him, you're not afraid and you can rest. You can rest. You can have peace. For he is our God, we are his people, the flock of his pasture, his sheep protected and nurtured by his hand. That was 95 and 7 in Psalms from the voice. Now here's some other things that we're going to talk about. Okay. Isaiah 43 and 2, when you pass through the waters, I love this scripture, I will be with you, and through the rivers they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. So when you're going through a storm and you don't feel real comfortable or confident, say, Lord, this is what you said. So I've got to trust in you, and I asked you to help me trust in you. You said the waters would not overwhelm me, so I'm just going to believe that they won't. I'm going to believe that whatever's burning up will not scorch me, or the flame won't burn me. Here's one more of the same scripture in the Living Bible. When you go through deep waters and great troubles, what does great trouble make you think of? A storm. I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the first fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you. I wasn't even born again when I was very, very young, but I almost drowned two times. And one time I was at a swimming pool that was a man that we knew, or my grandmother and granddaddy knew, owned a mansion way back in the woods. And he was so rich, he made a swimming pool out by a pond. And my folks would go fishing there all the time. And that pool was right down below the lake. Now, my grandfather's up here fishing, and I go down here to walk around the cement pond on the cement, and I fall in. But my granddaddy, who was already getting on up there in age, he heard me, I guess, hit the water. He come down there. He said I'd already come up two times and was going down the third time, and he pulled me out of that. And so I almost drowned then. And then I had a friend when I got a little older. Me and her went swimming in this pool, and she didn't know how to swim. Now, I wasn't the greatest swimmer, but she didn't know, and she didn't bother to tell me, so she's just about to drown me, you know, holding on to me. So God spared my life two times like that, and there's many more things I could tell you. So when we get in trouble or a storm, he will help us. Amen. I got to skip over some because I got the juiciest part I wanted to say for you. Oh, talking about rest. I never saw this before. Psalms 127 and 2. It is in the Living Bible. It is senseless for you to work so hard every morning until late at night, fearing that you will starve to death. Listen to this. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. Isn't that wonderful? I love that scripture. I never saw that before. You know this when you've heard it many times. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 from the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isaiah 40:31, Amplified. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect or look for or hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount close to God as eagles. And they'll mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint or tired, become tired. Now, my favorite part. Who's ever heard of Dr. Miles Monroe? Anybody? He's passed away now. And I didn't know that till Pastor told me. But he said, I'm talking about another animal now. He says that there were two animals that God identified himself with. One was the lion. We know Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then he said the eagle. He said, when there are storms coming and all the other birds are running and trying to get to shelter, he said the eagle looks at the storm and he heads to the storm. Now he heads to the storm because he knows something that we are going to learn. Somehow, some way, we're going to learn this. That he looks at it as the time to rest. And to me, when I saw that, I felt like, you know, I think God's telling us we need to learn to rest in these storms, because it was an opportunity for the eagle to rest. And the reason it was is he flies to the storm, and he has a little bone-like thing in his wing. And I forget how he said it. I don't know if he said it wasn't a real bone or it was like a bone, but it's called a pinion. And I guess he has one. Well, I know he has one in each wing. So he gets up in that windy storm, and he locks that pinion into place. It locks his wings. He uses it, and it locks his wings. So now he's not flapping around in the storm. He's just soaring on the storm, and it takes him up high. I love that. And then I found this other, it was a blog by Pastor Eason's. I don't know who that is, but he said, "The eagle is a mysterious and amazing bird. Just as the lion is the king of the jungle, the eagle is the king of the birds and of the air. God created the eagle to be amazing, to illustrate to the sheep, his children, the kind of amazing life he wants us to live. And here are some of the characteristics," blah, blah, blah. Okay, it says he only eats fresh stuff. Now, I have to say that may not always be exact. They will eat something on the road if they're hungry enough, and I guess they can tell, well, if it's just been killed too, you know. So I don't want to say that just like he said it. But it says that the eagle Christian, who we are and should be, has our gaze upon the future and not dwelling on the past. It says we don't dwell on mistakes, past hurts, offenses, past disappointments, fake doctrines, or etc. We realize that the past depicts the tomb, where the future depicts the womb. And we know the womb carries potential to deliver life and the future. The eagle ascends to high altitudes. Some eagle birds fly as high as 30,000 feet, where jumbo airplanes operate. Now, I've heard this before. The pilots have talked about they've seen eagles when they're way up. And I mean up above the clouds now. And he soars and doesn't flap his wings while he's at these high altitudes. This is the energy efficient way of flying and helps him to travel far without getting tired. So that's why when he sees the storm, he says to himself, by God inside of him, it's time to rest. So when you're going through a storm, start looking at it different. I'm not going to let this thing defeat me. I am going to start resting like God has tried to show me through his word. And I can see it. I can know it when the storm's not here, so I'm going to start using it when the storm does come. With a very astute eyesight, it can also spot prey as 5 kilometers below. The vision of the eagle bird is very sharp, and it can deal with its enemies just like the snake by picking it up with its strong beak, traveling high with it till it becomes destabilized. And the eagle's enemies are no match for it in the high, something other, can't see it now, in the high altitudes it operates from. He is like the eagle Christian, us, should operate regular in the spirit and confuse. When we do that, it confuses and unsettles our enemies. By soaring high with God in the heavenlies, the eagle Christian gains heaven's perspective on life matters. The eagle Christian is mindful of his association. He knows bad company corrupts good character, and he only seeks relationship with other eagle Christians. Did you know that that eagles don't hang around with other birds? They don't hang around with turkeys. They don't hang around with the pheasants. They don't. They hang around with other eagles. They're either going to be by themselves or with another eagle. Okay, my voice is about to go. And the eagle is confident in the wait a minute, I'm losing track of where I'm at. So the eagle knows to hang with its type, which, you know where I'm going with this. We should hang with Christians. I don't say we can't talk to others or have anything to do with them, but if it's bad company, it'll corrupt us if we just keep hanging with them. So we need to be more like the eagle, and hang with somebody who can build us up, tell us what we need to hear when maybe we didn't want to hear it, but we needed it, and just step out in faith and trust God to help us rest in the storm. Okay? Let's see. I'll make sure I get all these. This was so good to me. Help me. Okay. The eagle is confident in what he can do and how he lives. The storm doesn't scare him. And if he needs to get some food, he can see it miles away, and he knows how to handle it with his sharp claws. And we know how to handle things with the sharp word of God. Amen. I think that's all. I'm running out of time. Love y'all. Thank you.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.